Chapter 3, Galveston Island, Day Zero. Dan balanced the evenly spread heft of the axe in his palm, testing its weight. His fingers closed around the wooden shaft, and he lowered his arm, feeling the tug of gravity. Then he lifted it again, turning sideways and eyeing the head-shaped silhouette several feet away. In one fluid motion, he stepped into his throw, his arm coming around and grip releasing. The hatchet tumbling end over end toward its target, an almost hypnotic oblong somersault. With a whack, the blade struck the silhouette, curved metal embedding within a thick plank of wood, the dull thud echoing throughout the noisy bar. In the wake of the sudden crash of sound, the background noise of the bar eased into stillness. Speaking, dropping to murmurs, murmurs to whispers, sets of eyes drawing in their direction.
"Not bad, Porter, not bad at all."
Wayne unslung his crossed arms from over his chest and walked the aisle, nodding softly, then hesitated, head cocked, measuring the three axes embedded within the target.
"What's that, like $20?
Dan jerked his chin toward the back of Wayne's head.
"I feel like maybe you just sharked me.
Is there such thing as an axe shark?"
Wayne yanked one of the throwing axes from the wooden target, then lightly tossed it, the weapon somersaulting before he snatched it by its shaft again.
"I guess there is now."
Dan shrugged, allowing himself a rare, crooked grin. Wayne shook his head and removed the other two axes from their point of impact. Then, leaned them up against the wall and strode toward Dan, slipping his wallet from the pocket of his jeans. The flat line of his mouth was drowned by the wild, untamed tangle of dark beard that looked as though he hadn't shaved his entire life. A plaid shirt was rolled up to his elbows, revealing the contoured bulge of both forearms. Rigid muscles, born years of manual labor, lay just beneath the worn flesh and dusting of arm hair.
"Double or nothing?"
He pressed a folded 20 in Dan's outstretched palm, one eyebrow raised.
"Not tonight. I'm on a roll. Don't want to break the streak."
Wayne huffed and strode past him, heading back toward the barstool where he'd taken up residence that night. Dan followed along behind him, the two of them sliding up and sitting themselves down, resting their arms on the polished wooden surface. Dan eyed the television where another neatly coiffed weatherman was warning Texas residents of the upcoming tropical storm, which was destined to hit landfall in the next couple of hours.
"You gonna blow that whole 20 tonight?"
Wayne stared at the folded bill, which Dan had left rested on the bar.
"Why not? It's my night off, and I don't get many of them."
He tapped his curled fingers on Andrew Jackson's face. A night off was indeed a rarity, though it seemed more and more that each of those nights off was spent in that very bar on that very seat. He'd never been much of a drinker, even back in his Navy days. But things had changed in the last 6 months.
"Well, I got an early shift, so I'm hitting the road."
Wayne stared down at Dan's own exposed forearms, bunched muscle just as prominent, though not as large as Wayne's own. A scattering of well-defined, darkly inked tattoos made their way along the curved contours of Dan's musculature.
"You learn how to throw axes in the Navy?"
Dan looked down at his right arm, specifically at the tattoos Wayne had nodded toward. There was more than one along the curve of his right arm, though Wayne was specifically looking at the silhouette of an anchor, a twist of rope winding around it. Dan's memories of the Navy weren't especially happy ones, and more than once he'd consider getting the tattoo removed. Sometimes it was good to be reminded of the mistakes in your life. The dark times, as well as the light, helped to put things in perspective. A thought passed through his head unbidden, a thought that perhaps he should get the outline of Alaska tattooed somewhere. If he wanted to be reminded of the bad times so much, that was the perfect candidate. Dan almost laughed, but he muffled it within his clamp of closed teeth, afraid that it might sound more hysterical than funny.
"No, not in the Navy."
though his axe-throwing skills had helped him earn a nice side income in the Navy, just like it did tonight. My dad was a lumberjack. We didn't have much money, so, you know, we found entertainment wherever we could. He gestured toward a young female bartender, who nodded her acknowledgement, then held up a single finger for him to be patient. Wayne leaned back against the bar after standing from his stool, apparently rethinking his decision to leave.
Lumberjack, huh? Wayne crossed his arms again. How does someone go from a lumberjack's kid to working for a pharmaceutical company?
I'm just security, man. Dan shrugged. It's not like I'm one of those smart guys doing the hard work.
Dan's thumb touched the smooth metal of his wedding ring and slowly rotated around his ring finger.
They need lots of security at Biopharm? Afraid someone's going to break in and steal the penicillin?
Wayne studied him, eyes narrowing slightly.
I just worked there.
Dan grew uneasy about the trajectory of this conversation. He and Wayne were acquaintances more than friends, guys who ran into each other at the same bar a few times a week, but never saw each other outside of it. There was something about the edge to his voice that unsettled Dan, and he redirected his attention to the pretty young bartender as she approached, carving a broad smile across her red lips.
Sorry about that. What can I get you?
Whiskey, neat. Beer chaser.
She nodded and looked up at Wayne, who was still standing, a strange intimidation tactic Dan suddenly suspected.
I'm on my way out, sweetheart.
The bartender nodded and retreated, seemingly in a bit of a rush that Dan hadn't noticed before. Wayne remained standing, his shadow falling across the folded $20 bill on the bar.
What do they do down there anyway, Dan, at Biopharm?
Dan exhaled. There it was. Biopharm as a corporation already had its own mired reputation, and some of that was deserved. But that conspiracy especially swirled around the facility on Galveston Island, the residents of the surrounding community convinced it was some sort of secret government installation. The most frustrating thing to Dan was they weren't far off the mark.
Can't really talk about specifics, Wayne. You know that.
All right. Don't want to violate that NDA.
Wayne rolled his eyes.
Don't want to make the lawyers mad.
Don't want to lose my job is more like it. I need it.
Indeed, he did. He sure as hell wouldn't have been stuck down there on Galveston Island for the past 6 months if he hadn't. Especially not after what happened in Alaska. Especially not after what happened to Oliver.
Place pops up just out of nowhere. Wayne continued, undeterred by Dan's reluctance. All top secret and stuff. Nobody knows what they do or why.
I won't pretend to know their motivations. I just go where they tell me.
Nobody comes to Galveston Island unless they're hiding something.
Wayne's eyes remained fixed on Dan as if he might be the one hiding things. He leaned over a bit, resting one elbow on the bar as he looked over at Dan, who remained seated.
What are they hiding?
If they're hiding anything, I can assure you, I don't know what it is.
Dan told the lie with a surprising effortlessness, probably because he knew the dangers of telling the truth.
Like I said, I just worked there.
Insecurity.
Yep.
Wayne didn't seem especially fond of that answer, but he drew his broad shoulders in a shrug and apparently decided to let it go.
Just watch yourself, Porter, okay? Lots of folks around here wonder about that place, and so far you seem to be just about the only employee who actually sets foot outside it. Makes you a target.
A target?
Dan twisted and looked up at the bearded man. He wasn't fond of his choice of words. Wayne shrugged yet again in response.
Just telling it like it is, brother, that's all.
Wayne stepped past him, pushing his way behind Dan's stool, then walked across the bar towards the exit. Dan turned and followed him with his eyes, the dimly lit tavern looking especially full for a Wednesday. A wide pathway bisected the bar from its accompanied seating area along the far wall, a scattering of tables encircling the perimeter of a pair of pool tables. The axe-throwing alley was kitty-cornered to the seating area, pressed into a small corner next to the bar, one of the biggest attractions of the small, run-down establishment.
Don't let him get to you.
The young bartender set down the glass of whiskey and the bottle of beer, sliding them toward Dan.
You're Dan? Is that what he called you?
She leaned forward, resting her elbows on her side of the bar. Dan couldn't tell if she was actually interested or simply fishing for more tips.
I'm Dan. You?
Rhonda.
She extended a narrow hand, fingers pressed together. Dan took it and gave it a shake, nodding his head.
I've seen you in here pretty often over the last few months.
She stood back upright and retrieved a towel from her side, then wiped down the polished wood. Not much else to do. Dan tipped the whiskey and took a quick slug, the liquid burning down his throat.
Ain't that the truth?
She looked toward the door where Wayne had exited.
You keep hustling him, it'll end badly. Boy's got a temper.
Dan didn't bother to tell her that he had his own temper. That was a bottle he didn't feel like opening at that moment. The thumb of his left hand pressed against his ring again, twisting it around his finger.
How long?
Excuse me? He lifted his eyes from the whiskey.
How long you been divorced?
Divorced? Dan stopped fiddling with the ring.
Guys who come in here a few days a week without their wives, but still wearing a wedding ring, it's all the same story.
Happily married, Dan replied with a chuckle, flattening his palm on the bar so he wouldn't be tempted to keep fiddling with his ring. Longer than you've been old enough to work in this bar.
Well, good for you.
The bartender smiled.
You should bring her in here sometime.
There was a look in her eyes that told Dan she didn't quite believe him. Well, that would be tricky. She's back in Wisconsin. Dan wasn't sure why he was giving Rhonda such personal information. He'd made an effort in the 6 months he'd been in Texas not to share too much about himself. The less people knew about him, the better. Sometimes he wished he didn't know quite so much about himself.
Wisconsin? How does a Wisconsin boy end up on Galveston Island?
Just lucky, I guess. Weather's a bit nicer anyway. His eyes instinctively moved to the television again, where frantic faces were warning viewers of the upcoming apocalypse, or so it always seemed. Well, usually anyway.
Right.
Rhonda rolled her eyes.
Dahlia's coming. Buckle up, Galveston. Dahlia's coming.
She lifted her hands and shook them as if screaming a warning. Dan laughed and took another sip of whiskey, then washed it down with a gulp of beer. Rhonda remained there at the bar, studying him curiously, a bit more curiously than Dan was comfortable with.
What Wayne said, she continued, jerking her head toward the exit, about people coming to Galveston Island because they got something to hide?
Yeah?
That's not the only reason they come here. They also come here because they're running from something.
Her blue eyes were narrow and piercing, contrasting with the dull ink-black hair draped over her slender left shoulder.
You running from something, Dan?
Dan was indeed running from something, but that something kept following him everywhere he went.
Not a thing, he lied again. Just a guy with a job.
Down at the pharmaceutical place.
Was there anyone who didn't know where he worked?
Just security, he reiterated, then once again glanced toward the television screen.
A map estimating the trajectory of the incoming tropical storm had changed slightly, the circular pattern of the storm growing larger and darker. A curved arrow outlining its approach swept directly toward the southern edge of the island. The volume was down, and he couldn't hear it, but figured there was just more fear-mongering going on, and he'd had enough of that for one lifetime. He took another long swallow of whiskey just as his phone vibrated in his pocket, a steady thrumming against the muscle of his right thigh. Draining the rest of the glass, he pinched his finger around the phone and drew it out, turning it over to look at the screen. He smiled down at the name displayed across it, the notification of a new text message received, which he immediately opened.
Can you talk?
He thumbed a quick response, then gripped the beer bottle and drained the remaining 3/4 in a long swallow.
Keep the change.
He slid a 20 toward Rhonda, and her eyes widened.
Well, thank you kindly, Dan from Wisconsin.
Lifting the folded bill, she tucked it into the collar of her t-shirt and flashed him a flirty wink. Pushing back from the bar, he turned and strode toward the exit, already dialing his wife's number.